to have the Champions League nights back at Anfield, wasn't it? A clean sheet too. It wasn't easy at times. Bologna played with a real effort. They had a right go. They hit the woodwork twice. But the likes of Gravenberch, Szoboszlai, McAllister in midfield were immense. They really were. And then for Liverpool, really, the goals came. Good link-up between Darwin Núñez and Mo Salah for the opening goal. Salah on the right. Great ball whipped into the six-yard box. McAllister and Diaz were there. The Argentine poking home his first goal of the season for Liverpool. Then after Alisson made two good saves, Núñez had a goal disallowed. A special moment for the second goal in the second half. What a goal. Alexander-Arnold make a great run on the outside right, but Salah in the area, great feet, and a rocket left foot. Bender into the top corner. What a goal by Salah. Liverpool 2, Bologna 0.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events at Anfield as Liverpool recorded a 2-0 victory over Bologna to make it 2 wins from 2 in the Champions League phase. I'm Rob Jones and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Dominic Szoboszlai, as well as former Reds Jason McAteer and Jay Spearing, who join me for LFC TV show Outside Anfield. And that is where we head first. Two from two for Liverpool, 6 points from 6, 2 Italian clubs beaten. Alexis McAllister in the first half, Mo Salah with yet another European goal for Liverpool in the second. Jay Spearing and Jason McAteer have watched it. Have they enjoyed it?
Large parts of the game were very, very enjoyable. I think we mentioned it in the pre-match build-up, didn't we? Liverpool this season have been excellent in large spells of games. And then there's obviously stuff to work on as well, and that was the story of the night. I think if you look at the stats, it was very, very close. You couldn't really pick between them. In fact, Bologna had more efforts than Liverpool, and although Liverpool just shaded the possession, everything else was very much the same. So the scoreline, Bologna might feel, doesn't really suggest that it was a 2-0 game. But, you know, in large spells, Liverpool did control a game, but there is room for improvement.
We'll maybe pick apart the room for improvement. Jason mentioned, rightly so, that Bologna had chances. But did it feel that had Bologna have scored, Liverpool had another gear or two to go to?
I think so. I think Liverpool were quite comfortable throughout the night. You know, obviously, Bologna were always going to have a part of the game where they were going to have moments on top. They grew into the game as the more it went on. I felt that Liverpool started quite slow. And obviously took for Bologna to go ahead and obviously get a disallowed goal to really wake us up, I felt. But after that, I think Liverpool had full control. It was comfortable. I do totally agree that we had more gears to go if needed. But at the end of the day, I don't think Alisson really had a busy night. But Liverpool probably could have been a lot more clinical in the final third if they wanted to be.
It almost felt like the little spell that Bologna had before half-time that came after Alexis McAllister's goal was a symptom of it becoming a fraction too easy.
Yeah, there's that, and obviously we mentioned again at the top of the show, you know, Slot is trying to implement his own tactics, and Jay was right, you know, it's more of a patient build-up, playing out from the back, you know, they're not frightened to go round the back four and into midfield, then back into the back four, and then pick their opportunities maybe to go long or then thread the ball through an eye of a needle to get through the lines. And, you know, although Jay's right, you know, they got on top for a large spell of the first half, and then all of a sudden, you know, their downfall, Liverpool, was probably trying to play in the wrong areas and picking and choosing when to go long and playing it into midfield and losing possession in areas where Bologna had men, then created opportunities and then tested Alisson, and then all of a sudden their fans picked up and then they sensed, you know, there was opportunity there. They pressed higher and they forced Liverpool into more and more mistakes. And when we say there's room for improvement, that's where Liverpool have to pick and choose when they go long and when they decide to play out. You know, Jay's right, there was always going to be spells where they were after going to take the punches from Bologna, but, and they did that to an extent, but don't invite the punches. Don't invite them, you know, make people work harder, you know, to win the ball and make better decisions when you need to.
I want to come on to the aspect of sort of playing out from the back from a coach's perspective a little bit later on, but just on the point that Jason made there about that Bologna would throw a few punches, I think from what we said about them before the match, this felt that Bologna, they're not one of the absolute dregs. You know, they're not one of the sort of 6 or 7, 8 teams who, you know, like a Slovan Bratislava, who Celtic have smashed, City have smashed, that they are going to have a spell in the Champions League where even if it's 10, 15 minutes, they can cause you problems because they've got good players.
Yeah, and I think if you look at their first couple of Serie A games, you know, they've drawn quite a lot of games. You know, they don't let the game get away from them. They always keep themselves in the game. You know, the scores haven't been like 3-4, 5-0. It's always been very, very close. 0-0s, 1-1s. They kept it at 1-0 for a vast majority of the game. You know, and in football, anything can happen in a split second. They could score a goal. You know, I felt that Liverpool probably should have gone after the second a little bit earlier, tried to take full control of the game. I felt if Liverpool had scored the second, I felt that Bologna would never have got back into it. But the longer that they were allowed to stay in the game, they were always believing that they could nick one or, you know, get a chance. And, you know, right before half-time, we've all mentioned, you know, they had the opportunities to get back in. Liverpool defended quite well, you know, the disallowed goal and whatever. But I felt that Liverpool should have just gone on and killed the game. If they'd have killed the game, I felt Bologna would have been out of sight.
Yeah, there was shades of, you know, Man United when I was watching that, and there was opportunities to go, you know, 3-4-5. And then Liverpool, they weren't clinical, they didn't take them opportunities, they created them. I mean, Szoboszlai was guilty of, you know, not pulling the trigger when he should have done and put that to bed, and then all of a sudden you might get another one, and then it becomes an embarrassing scoreline for United. But that's where you've got to learn to be clinical, take them opportunities, because sometimes, you know, you might only get one or two, maybe against Arsenal or Manchester City. That's where you've got to be clinical. Tonight was a bit like that. You know, they went 1-0 up, created loads of chances, but didn't take them. And then all of a sudden, Bologna then start taking control last 10 minutes of the first half, and it could have been a different story.
And is that, when I use that phrase about it becoming a little bit too easy, that the trap, there's a player you can fall into that, as Jason said, in a game, we look further down the line in this group stage, whether it's Bayer Leverkusen or Real Madrid that look like the big two fixtures, that you think this might be my only chance. Whereas tonight, there's a bit in your mind as a player thinking, well, we'll get another chance in 5 minutes, we'll get another chance in 10 minutes, so it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, you know, Liverpool can't get complacent. You know, I totally agree with Jason that, you know, the manager is trying to implement different styles of doing things. You know, he wants to build the ball and be patient. But there are going to be times where teams are going to be right on the front foot. They're going to be pressing us, and we're going to have to try and change that way of playing on the pitch. And I think, you know, we had a little bit of that. I think on the goal kicks, it got to a point where, you know, Bologna were coming that far and advanced that, you know, we were going over the top to Mo Salah, and we were free for free on the back line. And Liverpool are going to have to adapt in game to try and create different ways of playing. But I totally agree that the chances that we created, okay, they were probably a couple of half chances, but the ones that, you know, when you go and play Real Madrid, Leverkusen at home, you have to be clinical. If you get that chance, you might only get one or two in a full 90 minutes against Real Madrid, and that's where you've got to be clinical. The more you can get used to putting the ball in the back of the net and being clinical, it becomes a habit. It becomes, you know, on a daily basis in training as well, and when it comes to a game, it becomes more natural, and then you take them.
As for the key moments of the game, you've touched on a few things that we mentioned pre-match. One of those was more goals from midfield. Tick.
Yeah, Alexis McAllister, yeah. I mean, listen, it's an area we spoke about again at the top of the show. You know, it's an area where they have to contribute goals. You know, he's probably not in there. He's probably out the three, probably not the one that you would suggest should be on the score sheet. You know, maybe creating more opportunities. Gravenberch, you'd expect, should be scoring more goals, and certainly Szoboszlai, but he's the one who popped up and scored the opener. So, yeah, it's nice to see that. I thought it was a good all-round performance. I thought the midfield played really well tonight. I've seen the best of Gravenberch when he was breaking, opening his legs, striding out, stretching the play. Szoboszlai, I thought, played well. He was really big, energetic performance. And McAllister was on the ball, doing what he does best, little balls, you know, splitting the lines, finding the front men. So I thought it was a good performance from the midfield, and topped off by what you just said there, a goal from one of the midfield players.
We spoke as well before the game about his adaptability, Alexis McAllister, that sort of any position as a midfielder you ask him to play, he can do to better or worse extents, but he's pretty solid all round. But that was a sort of almost Lampard-esque, Gerrard-esque sort of arriving late in the box. He'd been involved in the build-up and then carried his run on.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, he started the goal. You know, the nice 1-2 around the corner, tried to play a quick pass. Obviously, it's gone out to Mo Salah. You know, the delivery from Mo, you have to give exceptional deliveries on point. And he probably thinks he won't probably get 2 yards out to have an easy tapping. But the player that he is, the all-round that he can do, you know, a lot of last season, he was down as a number six. He played there because we didn't have anyone to really play there. He adapted, done it, an unbelievable job. But, you know, if you look before that, when he was at Brighton, he was further forward, he was scoring goals, he was assisting goals. And, you know, we talked about before the game, that's something he's definitely going to have to start adding to his game. You know, the dynamic of the three of them, I think all three can rotate. You know, one can go forward, they can all bro the defending side of the game as well. So the three of them have all got to start chipping in if it's going to be a successful season.
I think for midfielders as well, it's, you know, sometimes going into the box, you feel You know, I was like when I play midfield, certainly for Bolton, obviously it was more on the right for Liverpool, but sometimes you feel like if you go all the way and then it's headed out, you know, what's behind you? You know, am I leaving a big gap? And so you're hesitant. Sometimes you hold the edge of the box. But sometimes, as you just mentioned there, Frank Lampard was the best at it, arriving late and getting into the box, you know, believing in your run and believing that you're going to get on the end of something. And that's what he did. You know, it's a bit of a gamble going in there because of what you're leaving. But if you've got cover, then go. And then all of a sudden, you might get the opportunity, which he did tonight, and he took it.
Just on the point about McAllister, and you said that there are times when you can be a bit more flexible and maybe he goes a bit further forward. Do you think there are games, particularly against maybe the big six away from home, where you would play possibly Endo and Gravenberch a bit deeper and McAllister as the 10, who gives you a bit more solidity in there but can still create from that position?
Right now, I'd keep to the same midfield three just because of the, I think the connection and the partnerships that they're building. Obviously, Jason will know as well, being in the middle of the park, whether it's a two or a three, the more that you play together, the more the relationship grows. You know, you understand exactly what is coming from the opposition player. They seem to have an unbelievable balance at the minute where they know that if two are going forward, one will sit, whoever it is. You know, if McAllister's joining into the attack, which he's done to score the goal, Gravenberg's the one that maybe sits a little bit deeper and stays and protects the attack. Obviously, if Dom's chasing back off for a counter-attack, and, you know, McAllister's gone forward or Gravenberg, they just seem at the minute to have that real good understanding of, you know, the rotation, the one going forward, two sitting back. Also, the momentum of the game. You know, I think they've got an understanding of like when's the right moment to go. Is it 2-1 or a 1-2?
Go on.
Sorry, lots of energy. I think you're right. I think at the minute that's our best midfield. You know, I mentioned it before. There's a lot of different attributes from each individual. You know, they offer different things, but one thing collectively they offer is a lot of energy. I think if you look at Jürgen Klopp's best season, where maybe there wasn't a lot of guile and creativity in there, but there was lots of energy when Wijnaldum, Milner and Henderson, and, you know, they got around the pitch really, really well. And that's really important, you know, in an engine room. You know, you've got to get full 90 minutes, 95 minutes, 98 minutes. You've got to work really hard to shut midfielders down and stop them creating the opportunities for their front players. And, you know, I like that balance. I think it's really, really good. I think there's a time and a place for Endo to come in. But at the minute, I think they really complement each other.
As for the second goal, the great man does what the great man does.
It's no surprise, is it? You know, it's unbelievable. I think, you know, if you really want to pick something out of it, I think it's the first time that Jota's obviously dropped down and the centre-back's not followed him. It's allowed him to turn. He can then drive forward. And when he's driving forward, you know, a Bologna player has to come and close someone down. Trent does an unbelievable, probably 50, 60 yard run to around the outside to obviously create the space inside. And then once he comes inside, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? There's only going to be one ending, and it's an unbelievable finish from Mo Salah.
But I was going to ask you from a fullback's perspective, actually, because I was doing a game at the weekend at Nottingham Forest, and Callum Hudson-Odoi is the same, but from the other side. So you know exactly what he's going to do. He wants to come in and try and curl that one into the corner. But I can't remember who the fullback was. I was hearing talk earlier in the season saying, you can know what they're trying to do.
Can't stop it.
But stopping them is actually very difficult. So just, I mean, I guess the question is, why is it so difficult to stop someone even though you know where they're going?
Lots of different reasons. I mean, Jay's just made one there. You know, when you're a fullback and you've got someone going down the outside, which is Trent, you know, it's that split second of the decision making. You know, do I carry on going with him, or do I gamble a little bit, or do I just hesitate thinking he might lay Trent in? And it's that split second where the top players, they take advantage of that. And, you know, sometimes you just got to hold your hand up and say, I got done.
Yeah.
You know, I just got done. And I mean, there was a couple of opportunities where Diaz come inside, wasn't it? And you just think, pull the trigger, and maybe he should have done it, maybe he took a little bit longer. But with Salah, once he gets the opening, you know, more often than not, he's hitting the targets, isn't he? And he's, you know, more often than not, he's scoring. But sometimes you just got to hold your hand up. I mean, he is one of the best in the world. I mean, I've said tonight, he's not involved in the Ballon d'Or, is he? He's not been nominated, I don't think.
I think so, no. Need to check that. But
yeah, I'm sure my little boy was on the phone. He went, Mo Salah's not been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. But yeah, I find that really surprising. But I mean, he's such a top player, isn't he? So You know, but it's just one of them things. You try to show them on the weaker foot, obviously, you know, that's first, but then there's loads of variables, you know, man overlapping. Like you say, the centre forward moves away, you think he's going to slip it in, and it's just that moment of hesitancy.
I think
best players take advantage.
I think he's looking, like, we obviously, listen, I'm not a winger, so obviously, but the detail that we're trying to work on with our younger players, our wingers, is that if you can get a defender, like Jason said, to have that split second of where he double thinks of what he's going to do, and he moves his feet, you know, the best strikers in the world are looking for the fullbacks to try and cross their feet over. The second that they do it, that's when your momentum is to go forward, take that touch and then find the finishing. You know, with Trent going over, exactly like he said, he's in two minds of do a go, do a not go. That second that Mo sees him trying to think that he wants to go on an overlap straight inside, and he creates a space for himself to finish.
Could you, obviously, I suspect the answer to this is no, because no one does it, but cheat so much in terms of the angle of your body as a fullback, because you know that his right foot is considerably weaker. Just say, I'm going to give you no option but to go on the outside of me here. You just almost give him no angle from there to try and cut back in and around.
Fullbacks ain't getting done on the outside.
Right.
Because, you know, you show them inside because that's where their numbers are. And you're expecting, yeah. And what you're expecting as well is, as a fullback, once I've showed him inside, although he might beat me, your centre half really, or your centre midfielder might come across. So your centre half's out to make a block. So you're showing him into bodies. So the one thing, like I said, that a defender doesn't want to do, or certainly a fullback, is get done on the outside, because that's down to you. You know, you don't.
Whereas you show him inside and you wash your hands of it and blame someone else.
Exactly. And inside, it's like, Virgil, where are you? You know, you get done. You
vintage,
get done.
Vintage McAteer.
Done. It's like, it's good. You look after yourself.
Absolutely. And still do all these years on. Just a quick break in today's show to let you know you can get kitted out for the new season at the Liverpool FC store. Shop the new 24-25 season Nike home, away and third kits, as well as new arrivals to the Nike training collection. You can also shop the latest editions across LFC label fashion for men, women and kids. Shop them today at official LFC stores online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Let's get back to the show. Now let's get some more reaction from the tunnel at Anfield. Dominic Szoboszlai with Peter McDowell.
Dom, congratulations tonight. What was your assessment of that performance?
First of all, thank you. Very happy with the 3 points. That's the most important. After the first half, we had a little discussion in the changing room, and I think we came out very well. So yeah, that's the thing. How we step up after maybe not the best first half.
It was almost like they were man-to-man marking on the press as well. It's quite an unusual style to come up against sometimes.
It was not almost, it was man-to-man all over the pitch, but we were preparing for this and we were also ready. But as you said, it's not normal, so we had to get into the game and I don't know, think about some different stuff, what we could do.
Maka gets a great goal quite early on. It feels like you need the second goal just to put the nerves at rest a little bit.
Yeah, of course. 1-0 is always, you know, they're still going on. You need another one. And even if you scored another one, you need another one. But yeah, we're happy with the 2-0 as well.
What about this midfield balance at the moment, Dom? It seems like it's the perfect mix between the three of you. Your stats tonight, you were out on top in virtually everything. Maka gets the goal. Ryan's obviously pulling up all kinds of trees in that holding midfield position. Must be enjoyable to play in at the moment.
Yeah, of course. I love to play with them. I said it before. A lot of qualities what these two has, but the whole team. So the midfield is not enough. Of course, it's important role, but we need everybody, we need the bench as well, we need the whole squad, because it's going to be times where it's going to be hard, and I think we have still 60 games to come.
And the consistency of lineup as well. We hear a lot over the years about rotation in the Premier League, but it's consistently kind of the same 11 players at the moment. Recovery so important after a game like this.
Well, it's not our decision, so the manager decides who he put on the field, but I think if you would, as you saw it today, who came in, also give their best, Costas, Curtis, also Jot. So, yeah, everybody is ready, and that's the most important thing.
And a great start to the season, almost perfect start to the season so far.
Well, if you take the Nottingham Forest game away, then, yeah, it's a perfect start. But, yeah, we are top of the league. We have to continue like this.
Yeah, an almost perfect start to the season. 8 wins from 9 games for Arne Slot, the first Liverpool manager to achieve that sort of record early on. We were talking about the style of play. We've spoken about the midfielders, and I wanted to get onto the concept then of playing out from the back. And if there is, for elite managers like Arne Slot, a time to do it and a time not, or is it just, this is the way I want to do it, and we want to do it ad infinitum 99.9% of the time?
I think so, yeah. But I think I do believe that he will have plan B and plan C. You know, we've seen a lot of variance over the last in the first 9 games. You know, he has different ways of doing things. I'm very, very lucky to get an opportunity to, you know, to see it firsthand and to see him work on a daily basis. And, you know, when you go around there and you see what he's doing and he thinks on the spot and, you know, he deals with situations and how we work it is, we obviously go as a team and we throw different ideas at him. And to see him work, he can come up with 2, 3, 4 ideas of how he wants to do things. So playing out from the back, I'm sure tonight he'll learn a lot from, you know, Bologna being so high. By example, right, we're going straight over, we'll go play on the furthest line, play 3-3-3 on the back line. If they start to drop off, you know, we can rotate and play this way. You know, he's an unbelievable coach. He loves to be hands on, and I'm sure that he can play different ways if he needs to play out, if he does need to play out.
So if you set the challenges for them then when they're trying to play out from the back, can you notice how quickly the penny drops for him to think, well, we need to do this now. This is the way to get around this.
Yeah, because when we think that we're on top, within a split second, it's gone. And that's kind of like how it works. You know, we go around and we get told to listen. Like, for example, yesterday, go man for man, go as tight as you want. Don't let them move. Don't let them breathe. You know, the second you go on, within a second, you shout something in Dutch. Ryan runs off. You chase after him. The space opens up. And then straight away, they're out. And, you know, that's kind of like how quick he has to try and work. And then if he wants to go over it again, he'll ask for us to go over again and do exactly the same way so we can see if it'll work maybe the second time. If it doesn't work the second time, he'll add something else to it and someone else will move. And honestly, it's an unbelievable way of learning, especially for someone like me, you know, seeing what he does on a daily basis. But for the players as well, it's brand new ideas. You know, how can we do this? How can we do that? Oh, wow, we can actually beat this press and, you know, do it a different way.
It's also about decision making, Robert. You know, Liverpool, arguably Manchester City and Arsenal, the three best teams in the division, have obviously got the best players who are all very, very comfortable on the ball. And yeah, they can play out from the back, and yeah, that's how they want to play. But there's a time and a place for it, and it's decision making. And although the manager wants to play like that, sometimes it's not on. And you've got to recognise that. You know, as much as you want to play out, the other team's setting traps. And you've got to identify that. And you're seeing tonight, you know, like I said about Alisson, there's a time and a place to give the ball to Trent, to play to Kanate, to play to Virgil van Dijk. You know, there's a time and a place to do that. But also, there's a time and a place to go long where the forwards then stretch the pitch. And yeah, the press might be really high, but then all of a sudden you identify there's big space. And there's nothing wrong with playing a ball. You know, we all get wrapped up in this football where it can only be played over 10 yards. It's not. You can go long if you want. And I like that tonight. I like the fact that they identified that at times. Yeah, there was moments when they got it wrong, but they identified the moments where it was the right thing to do. And like Alisson's dropping it in to the front players, Nunes dropping it into Diaz, dropping it into Salah. You know, they were coming back to front. And that's what the highest quality players do. They identify when it's on and when it's not. But they're human and they get it wrong sometimes.
And that's the thing. Is there an acceptance then from coaches that we saw Konate get caught on the ball a little bit at Wolves at the weekend. There was a couple of times, and I think Alisson was one of the culprits. Trent might have done it once. That every once in a while you give the ball away in your own third of the pitch, that to a certain extent, Arne Slot just says, well, I've asked you to do that. So, as Jason said, you're not perfect. So, you know, it's not always
going
to play.
And you're right. There was one today where it's gone to Konate. He's given it to Trent on the right hand side. He's tried to come in. Obviously, Bologna have read it, they've had a chance to score, and Alisson's made a great save. But then the next one, I think Dominic Szoboszlai come right the way down the pitch, drawn out the centre back. The next one's gone straight into Mo Salah's feet. But the manager knows that if he's trusting these players to do it, they are going to make mistakes. But then it's how you fix it. And you know, a prime example is after half time, the first goal kick that we had, Diaz has come right across into the centre of the pitch. Everyone's come to the left hand side. A huge space on the left, ball played in, and Nunes runs through on the left-hand side on his own. So, you know, they're looking as they're going. The people on the bench are working, looking at ideas on the iPad of how they can break it down. And, you know, they've come up with one straight away within the space of like 5 minutes.
The other thing as well is that you don't want to be too predictable. You know, you might be a team that plays out from the back, but, you know, you can't do it all the time because everyone's going to counter pressure, aren't they? And they're just going to know what you want to do. So don't be predictable, mix it up. Then all of a sudden, like you've just said there, right, they've tried it with Trent. All right, it's not come off. Tried it again, scored the other side, kind of nearly come off. And then all of a sudden, they've gone long. And then all of a sudden, Bologna are thinking, ooh, you know, the back players are thinking, well, I don't want to be 3-on-3. I don't want to be 1-on-1 here. So the next thing, they'll pull the midfielders back to give them a little bit of cover so they can't drop it in. But then all of a sudden, that opens up. And then Liverpool have got players who obviously can play out from the back, but, you know, time and space for these players is a dream. You know, you don't want them to have it. But if you can create that by identifying these things on the pitch, then you've all the better. And that's why, you know, these three teams are the best teams, you know, in the country.
So therefore, to think of teams that aren't quite the best teams in the country, I'll give you the example of Southampton at the moment, who are getting a lot of criticism because, you know, they're playing out the same way, they keep getting caught. Is that because ultimately the players aren't good enough, so therefore whatever tactics they use, they're probably going to get relegated, even if, you know, if they suddenly started smashing it long? Or also is it that Russell Martin, it's his first time as a Premier League manager, is not quite cute enough in terms of working things out in game compared to a Slot or a Arteta or a Guardiola?
Yeah, no, I think it's a little bit of both. You know,
there's
no disrespect to Southampton whatsoever. You know, they had an unbelievable season last year in the Championship.
They have better players than
everyone. They had unbelievable.
And they believe in it.
And they had the best players in the Championship, and they could do it because Championship teams, again, no disrespect to the Championship, but, you know, they can't press, or the players aren't as good as that are pressing you. So they could play out, they could play right through the way through the pitch and score goals. The level that they've come to in the Premier League, you know, it's the best league in the world. They're playing against the Cities, the Arsenals, even the low ones down, the Newcastles, even again Bournemouth
Brighton
game.
Brighton,
Bournemouth, you know, they've gone there. They're still trying to do it with good players, but they're playing against better players who know how to press, managers that know how to stop the press, can go and win it back and score goals against you. You know, at this level, if you make a mistake, clinical players to kill a game, and you find yourself 2 or 3-0 behind before you even know it.
And the stats on teams coming up and going straight back down, it tells you how big the jump is.
Well, Vincent Kompany did it at Burnley as well.
Yeah.
You know, he tried
a good job out of it, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Thanks to Pep.
That was going to be my next question, actually, about as a group of players, and whether you want to choose Burnley from last year or Southampton, that they came up with a certain style of play. You try it for 6-7 games, as they are now. As a player, do you sort of switch off if then suddenly the manager comes to you and says, well, we're going to try something totally different on Monday?
No, I don't listen.
Panic.
No, I don't
That's exactly it. He's chucked the baby out of the bathwater.
As a manager, you've got to be careful you don't lose faith in you.
And that's what I mean.
Because all of a sudden, like Jake said, you've had an unbelievable season in the Championship. You know, the best team, you've come up, you're on a high. Your philosophy, your tactics are there. You know, why really shouldn't a manager go into that? I think they've got to be able to adapt to certain situations and certain games and decide when they want to play, you know, their expansive football or play off from the back, and then pick and choose when, you know, when Liverpool come to town or City come to town. Shut up shop, nick your points if you can, try and play on the break, but be adaptable. You know, training sessions have to be variable, where they can change things around. You can't just stick to the way you played in the Championship, because ultimately you'll go back down.
Let's get back to the first team, shall we, and hear a little bit from Arne Slot post-match.
Arne, well done. How was your first experience of a Champions League night at Anfield?
A good one, because it was a win. It wasn't an easy one, but that's normal if you play Champions League. There's always a lot of resistance. A lot of good teams play in the Champions League, and Bologna is one of them. You could also see the results tonight, where we saw maybe some surprising results. So it was good to win, clean sheet, some good individual performances, so positive overall.
I think I heard you say in an interview earlier, though, as well, that there was room for improvement again. You also said that after Wolves. So what does it say about your side that when you're not necessarily at your best levels, that you're able to churn out wins like this?
Yeah, the thing is, you will probably never reach perfection. You're always aiming for perfection, but you will never reach this. But we can improve. We have to improve. That's clear. But there are also a lot of positives to take from tonight and also from the other games. But there was a spell in the game where I think we didn't control. They were threatening us more than I would like to see. But again, this is normal. I saw a lot of games yesterday. I saw some games before we played in the Champions League. It's never that only one team plays. There are always two teams playing. And I think for most part of the game, we controlled. We had more ball possession, but they threatened us, especially last phase of the first half a few times as well.
Ari, could just ask you about Mohamed Salah, because he scored obviously a very good goal for Liverpool second. He'd become the first Liverpool player to score in five Champions League home matches for them.
In five?
Five Champions League home games for Liverpool.
Ah, okay. Yeah, what can I say about Mo? What you saw today is what you get. If you bring him often enough in positions like this, he can score a goal. He had a great assist as well. I think the second one, if you look at the way he scores it, I can understand everybody is talking about the finish, because it was a fantastic finish. He had almost the same one just before. But it wouldn't do justice to Virgil, to Diogo, to Dom and to Trent if we only talk about the great finish, because Virgil played a fantastic ball through, Diogo dropped, turned, Dom was again involved, he was in involved in the first goal as well, and Trent made a crucial overlapping run, because that opened up the space on the inside for Mo to do what Mo always does.
Hi Arne, I want to ask you about Bologna. Were you surprised by the way they played?
Not surprised, because we analysed them really well, and I said yesterday already this team only lost once, and that's not a coincidence. They were 1-0 up for a long time till the last minute against Atalanta Bergamo, and this club knows how good Atalanta Bergamo is. So I was not surprised, but maybe I was even I was impressed how they were playing here, not afraid to play the ball out from the back. And not afraid to play man v man all over the pitch for 90 minutes long. And if I look at us, but maybe the other manager will say, yeah, that's what we create. But the amount of times we could have played the last ball in an overload, so we had more players than the other than Bologna had, but then missed out on the pass, that happened far too much for us. But yeah, maybe that's also a quality of them.
You've had a few months to work with Darwin Nunez. What is how do you see him in the in his form? Because he didn't have a great Copa America. He hasn't scored. He scored one goal for Liverpool since April, and today he may have looked a little bit off the pace.
I don't think it's really honest to say he only scored one for Liverpool, because you also have to look at the playing time he got, and I think it was his first start of the season. So. I don't look at it, and in the way you do that, only focus on the individual. I think in the first hour we didn't create a lot of chances for him as well, because we missed out on a last pass on numerous occasions. If we would have done better, that probably would have led to chances for him as well. His home game against, was it Bournemouth? Great goal, yeah. Today he was also involved in a team we faced that was really hard and tough on him. And his teammates didn't always found him when they could have. So, yeah, it's a bit early after three games to say he only scored one. For me, that's a bit too early.
Arne, just going back to Mo Salah, it's another great performance, a goal and an assist. He's thriving in the Premier League. He's thriving in the Champions League. Surely he should be on this stage again next season. He's not slowing down.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the answer I gave just a second ago. I think before Wolves, Mo played three games without scoring a goal. So it is, in football, it can happen that sometimes in three games you score one or you don't score. But these players, like Mo, like Darwin, like all the others, they will always score their goals if you just keep playing them. The thing is, I can't play them all, but it's good to have them, and they will always score their goals. And Mo is, has done really well today, and I'm happy with the way he does at the moment, and I'm not looking forward to next season, as long as we have six group games to play and hopefully many others to come afterwards.
Arne, you mentioned yesterday about Bologna's man-marking approach. How important was Ryan Gravenberch tonight in terms of getting out of tight situations and then putting your team on the offensive, because he just seems to be going from strength to strength at the moment?
Yeah, there are a few ways how to overload or outplay them, and one of them definitely is a player that can drive with the ball, dribble with the ball, outplay someone, because if you then outplay someone, you immediately have an overload, and that is what happened, I think, after 2 or 3 minutes already, when Ryan turned away again from a good pass from Virgil, and he was outstanding again today, Ryan, with his dribbling ability And that was important against this team. But if we only focus on the dribbles he had, we forget maybe how important he is without the ball, where he does a lot of work and wins a lot of second balls as well.
Arne, you're the first Liverpool manager or head coach in history to win 8 of his first 9 games. What conclusions do you draw from that short sample size?
Yeah. I don't draw many conclusions to that. But it is nice. So many incredible managers have worked here, doing so many special things. The only thing is, I don't hope that the only thing where people remember me in 1, 2, 3 years, you never know how long I can be here, but if they only say, yeah, that's the manager that only won 8 out of his 9 games, I'm hoping to do more special things than winning 8 out of 9 games. But it says a lot about many things. It also says a lot about how Jürgen left this club, the squad I inherited, how much work rate the players put in, and how much my staff members are helping me to get these results. But again, hoping to do more special things than only be remembered for 8 wins out of the first 9.
Thank you, everyone.
So, Arne Slot and Liverpool roll on to Selhurst Park on Saturday lunchtime. And given the tight turnaround, do you think there might be more than one change we saw tonight?
I'd guess so. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of the players did play another 90 minutes. It's coming thick and fast. Another half 12 kickoff, you know, we get thrown a few of them in our time. But I think, you know, it's a long season ahead. The games are coming again, like you say, they're coming here every single week. It's a busy period. You know, we still want to keep the momentum going forward. The squad is healthy, the squad is fighting, you know, it's healthy competition. And I think everyone's showing again, the subs who came on tonight are ready to go as well.
What might you do tweak-wise?
Tweak-wise, listen, the likes of Curtis could come in. Listen, Palace, you know, for the new manager last season, he had a fantastic start, didn't he, and end to the season, and it's not quite continued. They are on the back foot at the minute, but still a dangerous animal, still got some very good players. So again, respect, they'll need to be treated with respect. But for us, you know, you could throw in the likes of Curtis Jones, could come in. Maybe, you know, Jota didn't start tonight, he might start. Salah just wants to play, doesn't he? You know, I'd expect Diaz to start, he's come off. I just think they're going to be little tweaks because he's still, you know, it'd be difficult for him with the role that he's on to actually want to change it. When you're a manager, you don't want to change much when you're winning, do you? You want to continue and continue and continue, and that means picking the same players. But there's got to be some point where, you know, not when the penny drops, because he knows it, where he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to do it because they'll run out of steam, you know, with a third of the season to go, and that's the crucial part of the season.
And interesting, Palace was 12:30 last season. I seem to remember it was off the back of an international break, but Liverpool were incredibly slow to get going that day. Harvey Elliott bailed them out very late on in the game, but Liverpool had Klopp had a really good record there, but found it tricky to win, if that makes sense. They were always pretty close games that Liverpool had to work hard for the points in.
Yeah, Palace is never an easy place to go. You know, I think our history there is, you know, we've won most games, but they've always been real sticky games. I think, you know, in a lot of them, we've probably found ourselves going behind to then get ourselves back into it. You know, coming the weekend, maybe a few decisions might be taken out of the manager's hand, depending on, you know, the fitness. You know, the fitness coach, you know, Ruben, he might look at it and go, you know, has Konate played 3 games in a week before? That's one that, you know, we're going to need throughout the season. Over last year, I think he only played 1 game a week. So, you know, that could be a change which could be taken out of the manager's hand. But, you know, Selhurst Park, they've still got good quality players. Like Jason said, they haven't started great. Liverpool have to go there full of confidence, and, you know, we want to keep our momentum going forward more than anything else.
I've said it was always close. I've just remembered one game they won 7-0 at the top.
I didn't want to mention it, to be honest. You two at all, I'm thinking we battered them 7-0.
Yeah,
once.
Which was also a lunchtime kickoff, so yeah. I'll shut up. But, just something you mentioned, Jason, the very strong end to last season. To Palace, particularly Aubameyang, he looked a little bit lost without his mate. Michael Olise has gone to Bayern Munich. The two of them were just so good together in that run they had at the back end.
Yeah, and really productive, weren't they? And, you know, sometimes you start, well, they were the star players, weren't they? And when one goes, the rest of the team are looking around, is he going to be replaced? You know, is that kind of quality going to come in? And, you know, the momentum can stall because of that, because they can create something out of nothing, the pair of them, but obviously they've lost one. And he probably wasn't replaced, was he? So it has been a difficult start, a slow start. But, you know, that's not of Liverpool's concern. Liverpool's concern is to get on top, dominate the game, be clinical, as we mentioned, get 3 points, and then, you know, hopefully he can navigate his way through international break by asking his players maybe not to go.
It always feels a biggie, though, doesn't it, before an international break, to go into that with a win.
Yeah, you want to go into that knowing you've picked up 3 points, and people can then go on international duty all across the world, and, you know, you're touching every piece of wood you can to make sure that they all come back fit and ready to go again. And sometimes you probably want some to maybe say they've got a knock or whatever to try and get a bit of rest in between, but, you know, the schedule for the players is full throttle. But for Liverpool's time, you want to go there, you want to get an early 3 points, put a little bit of pressure on the rest of the results coming over the weekend before the international break. So yeah, it's a big one.
That's it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Saturday with more analysis and interviews as Liverpool travel to Crystal Palace in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.